Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
One NFL analyst breaks down a pretty interesting decision ahead for somebody that might be in play. Might be in play for the Browns at two there, JP. We got the Orange Bowl tonight. Drew Aller played a pretty nice, it was really a really nice first half in the second round matchup, the Penn State-Boise game. And that led people to suggest that he should reconsider, if he continues to play this way in the playoffs and Penn State goes deep, he should reconsider whether or not to go back to Penn State for a final year or not. Well, Sam Monson of the 33rd team tweeted this out earlier this week. He said, Aller could go number one overall next year if he goes back. He could also go as high as three this year if he needs. If he goes this year, I don't know. I butchered that last part, but I think it's. I'll be honest with you. I think Sam Monson is shorting this one. I think Sam Monson is speaking as if Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are on some other level than Drew Aller. I don't think he is. I think if Drew Aller comes out, I think like I'd put him right up there with those three quarterbacks, and I think it makes it an even more difficult decision for Tennessee or Cleveland atop the draft.
I'd put him at number two. I would firmly put him number two.
I like that because I would like him here.
The only reason why. So my big fear, obviously, with Shedeur is I've been pretty vocal about what I like about Shedeur is that if the comp to Shedeur in some circles is Joe Burrow, I would think Callahan, who obviously coached Joe Burrow, would probably have a pretty high interest in having somebody like that on his team. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Wild guess out there. That's me just copying, pasting, and saying, okay, he'd probably be pretty appetizing to someone like Callahan. But what I like about Drew Aller and why I think he's better than Cam Ward is the idea that, now what scares me is the idea that he's going to have to be, you won't win right away. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to need, the reason why he's debating about staying another year is he's clearly not polished enough yet, and he clearly has got some room to grow. But as far as the Stefanski system is concerned, and some of the things we like about Shedeur, the idea that he can work within that system, that Drew Aller is the same type of guy that way. He can do a lot of those same things while also then being, slightly smaller than Big Ben. He's a massive human.
Yeah, and also, the Browns drafting philosophy. There's a lot of analytics that goes into age of when you were drafted, and the younger you are, this is one of the big reasons why David Njoku was a first round pick for the Browns. He was kind of a second ish round pick, but because of that youth and that ridiculous athleticism, it kind of sprung him forward plus the fifth year option. So Drew Aller's still only 20 years old. He won't be 21 until March 8th.
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely think the next game, at the very least, matters massively. But I think what's interesting to me about this is, I actually think Aller fits this system. He's actually been under center more than either Shedeur or Cam Ward, who have been out of the shotgun, I mean, a lot. Like, it's hard to pinpoint the exact number because I've seen the number, like, different four different places.
Sure.
but those guys predominantly play out of the shotgun, which so you're projecting that they'll be comfortable under center, which honestly we had the whole debate with Deshaun and him being under center. I think the problem with Drew is people are going to look at his numbers and they're going to say, well, those guys have better numbers in college. The reality is there's still a gap between what makes a good NFL quarterback and what makes a great college quarterback. And I think that's the difference between Drew Aller and Shador, and not necessarily Shador, but certainly Cam Ward.
I think the problem I would have is that when you spoke to his age and everything, I think you'd be looking at something like what Buffalo did with Josh Allen, where you draft him, you're like, all right, first 2 years, we can't even care about the results. We're playing for year three and beyond. And I just don't know. I don't know that Stefanski and Barry have enough time to try to see that through.
But I'll be honest with you. It's the kind of move, if they did that, it's a bit of a put them on the table move. And it's the kind of thing that could earn my respect. And again, this is all under the fanciful idea that Drew Aller's going to play so well tonight against a very nice Notre Dame defense. And oh, by the way, even if they win tonight and he plays really well, then he's got to go to the national championship game where he's either going to face the Ohio State defense or the Texas defense. Mm-hmm. And either one of those defenses could ruin your perception, which is really what draft stock is at this point in the season, and maybe discourage you from doing this. I'll be honest. I know, like, Drew Aller could absolutely just go back to college, collect his NIL, and he could be in the NFL in 2026. So in the end, I want the prospect to make the best decision for him. It's going to conflate the conversation here because he's from Medina too. That's another thing. It's going to make people unnecessarily.
Let me ask you this, because I don't think you're having it because he's from Medina. Like, if he was from Knoxville, would we be talking the same way?
I would be.
I would be too.
Do you know
but
why?
I'm worried that a lot of the fan base, that's not why they're having the conversation.
So it's the size of the quarterback. He actually is more athletic than I think people realize. They don't move him around a lot.
He doesn't move a lot, but I don't need him to move a
lot.
To be honest, I don't want him to move a lot with Stefanski.
And if you watch him move, he's a pretty damn athletic guy for being a damn Tonka truck at 6'5", and I don't even know how much he weighs at this point. So, like, but here's where I really get sold with him is, one, I do think he fits the system. I think he's got more time under center. I think he's got more time and experience in the play action. And guys, if you can do this intelligently, if you can do this patiently, if you have a plan for Drew Aller, I think the upside is sky high.
Well, if we talk about preserving your jobs, right? And that's kind of one of the big themes of the executives around sports these days, is basically how long can you keep your job for? Can you convince Haslam to say, okay, first 2 years, you're going to have some results, but let's say it goes the way that Josh Allen did with Buffalo, where even the first 2 years, they won games in year two, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
They won games. They were good. Their defense was outstanding in those years. Josh Allen wasn't particularly great, but if memory serves me right, was it year one or year two they won double-digit games and made it to the postseason with Josh Allen?
So they definitely had a high success rate in the second season. It was 10-6.
10-6, yeah.
I remember they
won double-digit games year two. It was not because of Josh Allen. Year three was the year that Josh Allen just took off and was a completely different player. But if you're the Browns and you're Haslam, can you sell the Haslams on that right there? Like the idea that we're going to have an awesome defense and then we're going to have a good enough team that maybe by year two, maybe we do get double-digit wins, but that's not the point. The point is what happens year three and beyond.
I think, I don't want to say controlling the messaging or controlling the Haslams. I think so much of a pick like this is just being realistic and honest with your owner. And I think it's fair to say, listen, Jimmy, he is more of a risk than maybe Shador is. Maybe Shador is more ready to be a better quarterback now.
Yeah.
So you might go into next year, and if Shador is balling out and Drew hasn't played yet, or if Drew struggles, some fans are going to be mad and they're going to be pointing over there. But we're basing this from who's going to be the best player 3 years from now. So you have to be realistic with Jimmy. I think the Haslams, for everything you could say about them, I think if you go to them and say, like, I feel like this idea is, well, you manage up and you treat these billionaires with kid gloves. I don't think that's the relationship. I think if this was about managing the Haslams, I think eventually you fail at that.
Well, I do think a selling point that you would have if you're the Haslams, or excuse me, if you're Stefanski and Barry in this is, What have we heard? We keep hearing that they want to be great as soon as they possibly can. That's every owner in the NFL. But when do the Haslams really want to be shining, and when do they really want to be ready to go?
By the time the new building's up.
Exactly right. 2029 is when they want to be off to the races and being awesome and selling all the different season tickets where no one's going to even complain about the PSLs and everything attached to it. Drew Aller is going to be ready to go at that time.
And Brook Park is a quicker drive for people from Medina that want to go ahead. And people from Medina County, just letting you know.
People are saying.
Everyone's saying it. But no, I really look at Drew. And listen, again, I don't know it's in his best interest to do this. But I know that, my biggest fear of him doing this, if coming out this year, is that the Titans see the same damn thing.
Well, he's got to get with a team that is resolved and
yes,
good with the idea of patience.
Well, so for me, the key with Drew Aller, whether he plays next year, whether you take him to and he plays next year or not, it is, are you willing, can you build a team that can win around him? And I think for the right. Browns, if you're going to, so the defense, I think, again, he just has to be better than what they've had. And the way that you help a young quarterback, if they're maybe on the raw side, is one, you got to build a good running game. I don't know that Buffalo had that first year with Josh. And in fairness, I don't think they went to Josh right out of the gate.
No, it was a great defense. That's what got him.
But that second year, the run game got better. The defense was, phenomenal by the first 2 years. The first couple of years, it's still pretty darn good. But The if you've got a super raw quarterback, I think it starts with, can you run the ball and minimize your reliance on that quarterback's arm early in the season? And yeah, then do you have a defense that can bail you out if you go out there and he has a bad turnover? Well, I think this defense has shown, at least last year and the years before, they could do that.
You can see why Drew is hesitant to do any of this, though, right? Because if you enter and you're not ready and you need that grace period, you need those couple years, you enter and you go to the wrong spot, all of a sudden, you're just screwed. Because not every team is going to look at it like, oh, we're going to give you the time to do this. How many times do we have that conversation about what would have happened if the Browns took Josh Allen at number one? And then we've all kind of just recognized, well, Josh Allen was great, but Josh Allen wouldn't have worked out that way if he was with the Browns.
And here's another thing. If you guys remember, the Browns had the fifth pick in the 2009 draft. They traded to the Jets, and they traded down a couple more times. But basically, Mark Sanchez came out a year early, and Pete Carroll, who had been in the NFL, went to him and said, you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophecy came true. They won games with him, but if you actually look at it, it didn't help that they didn't have a good offensive head coach. It was Rex Ryan, as defensive guy.
They went to back-to-back conference title games.
Yeah, but if you look at his numbers, were atrocious.
No, he was a bad quarterback.
And so that weighs in the back of my mind. The difference is you do have an offensive head coach. And the difference is you've got a system that I think really, really plays to his skill set. And here's one more thing. That dude's arm. The arm thing doesn't matter in Cleveland year-round. When it does matter is in November, December, and January. That's when your arm strength matters in Cleveland. And that's why, I'm not saying Shador, but that's why guys with lesser arms just tend to go the way of the dodo here.
Yeah.
And Drew Aller's arm would absolutely play on the lakefront over the next couple years.
I know, but if I'm Drew, I'm looking at it like you need a perfect storm of situations for right now. And then the Browns could be that, by the way. They could be that. But
he also just has to do the Bernie Kosar and say, I'm going to Cleveland. Drew, I'll tell you, they'll love you forever. You pull the Bernie Kosar and say, I'm only going to Cleveland, and Cleveland takes you at two. You tank those Titan
from
interviews.
From an entertainment standpoint, I'm totally here for that. I would love that. If you have him coming out and saying he's going into the draft just because he wants to be a part of the Browns, and that's the only reason why, that would be dynamic theater.
216-474-0092. If Drew Aller reverses his decision and were to come out, is that the right decisions for the Browns at two if he's available? And speaking of if statements, if Shador Sanders is in play for the Browns, Gary Barnett, a longtime association with Colorado football, he's going to join us next and tell us what the Browns be getting in him on and off the field next on 92.3 The Fan. We've had a lot of Shador Sanders talk this week. The Browns have the number two pick. Shador is seen as either the number one or number two quarterback prospect in the game. And we've had, we clearly have, we've drawn lines on the show so far on Shador, but to get some perspective of somebody that's watched him up close here. We're going to welcome on former Colorado head coach, current color analyst for the Buffaloes program here, Gary Barnett on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Appreciate it. This is a pretty interesting topic you got going on.
It's been divisive. It's been interesting. I'm just curious in terms of, you know, kind of your experience and what you've seen from Shador in kind of what your experience has been with him the last 2 years at Colorado.
Well, you know, it's an interesting, the whole Deion Sanders takeover at Colorado has been really interesting. I think you have to understand that Deion has built this thing from so far from outside in, and he got a great number of skilled kids, both sides of the ball, especially on offense, and really renewed those skill kids this year going into the second year. But the area that has been, I don't want to say neglected, but just hasn't had the same amount of traction or the same amount of maybe work done is in the offensive line. And so Shador Sanders is a really interesting kid. He's, you know, he's 96 sacks in 2 years. You know, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks who have had to endure that and yet operate at the level that he's operated at. So, at first, I go to every practice, especially during the summer in August. I don't get to all the practices once the games start, but I do get there all summer as I'm watching things develop. And, you know, he's gone from a guy that I didn't know for sure to a guy that I really do trust and really admire how tough he is and his attention to detail and his coachability, his knowledge of the game and his working relationship with Pat Shurmur, who became the offensive coordinator about the last two or three games a year ago and then was full-time this year. So, and I've watched him from the college angle because, I know that a lot. I know it well. The professional angle, that's somebody else's deal. But from the college angle, he really has been able to do everything that a top-notch college quarterback should be able to do. So I built a lot of respect for him.
How high do you think his ceiling is? Because I think it's a good point. You mentioned how much he's been able to grow even just in the couple years of Colorado. And, I mean, he started out as a 3-star prospect. It's not like he was heralded as the world's greatest quarterback, and he's developed he's the most accurate quarterback in the FBS last year.
And I'll tell you, that's the one thing about him. He is really accurate. He makes really, I think, pretty good decisions. I think you could look at the fact that he was sacked 96 times or whatever it was and say that there's a percentage of those are his fault because he's trying to make a play. He's, the fact that we could not run the ball meant that the only way we were going to move the ball at Colorado was going to be in some sort of air attack or him scrambling. And so he was sort of put in a bind. I can't imagine how good he would have been if we'd had an offensive line that could actually run the football and protect the quarterback. He was running for his life on most plays. So I think he's developed a lot. And I think the fact that he could put up the numbers that he has, I think maintain the respect of his teammates, which it seems to me is really remarkable given everything. So he's been pretty amazing in my eyes.
Gary Barnett on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former Colorado head coach, now Buffalo's color analyst here. Timeout Shador Sanders. So from I know he's accurate in terms of like arm strength and power on his throws. How would you kind of describe that part of his game?
I don't think there's a throw he can't make. I really don't. We saw him make them all. We saw him make a lot of them on the run. When he was able to stay in a pocket and make a throw, there wasn't a throw he couldn't make. He's got good touch. He's mobile enough. He could have, if he was going to subject himself to as a running quarterback, he certainly has the ability to be more of a running quarterback than he was. But they couldn't afford to lose that kid. I mean, we had nothing behind him. And so I don't think he didn't run because he didn't want to run. It's just because he was sort of coached up not to. But he's accurate. He's got a good arm strength. You know, he probably stays with some plays too long. But that's something that they'll coach out of him at the next level. But he's a smart dude. You know, he never comes out of the game. He takes a lot of shots, gets up, goes right back to the huddle. And like I said, a lot of respect for him.
Past couple of days, I've been pretty vocal in my support for Shador, and the kind of the response back that I keep seeing over and over again is like, well, we just had a circus here with Deshaun. Why do you want to bring another circus here with Deion and then Shador? But I wonder if the separation of the two, though, and is Deion going to be able to stay at Colorado and then Shador go off and live his life, or do you feel like they're always in tandem? And is it the circus that people...
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Are describing back to me?
You know, I don't know that any of us know whether they're going to be able to separate and go, but I would think so. I think Deion's going to be at Colorado for a couple more years. I think he'll be there as long as Rick George is the athletic director. I don't know whether Deion's style really transpires to the NFL, but you know, I don't think of all the kids that could go. For example, when it looked like New York was going to have the first draft choice. Of all the kids that could go into New York and survive out of college, Shador Sanders has been exposed to everything. And so he's going to be able to survive in whatever environment that he goes into because he is worldly. You know, you understand that he has done things in his life that no other quarterback has had the opportunity to do. So he's pretty well-rounded, and he's pretty much ready for anything that's out there.
Gary, this is kind of an in the weeds question, but in terms of Kevin Stefanski's offense, it's a lot of under center and it's a lot of under center play action, and everything runs off the running game. At least that's what it was when the offense was any good here. It's been a couple of years, but how much time has Shador spent under center in Colorado, and how much play action do they do under center?
Well, they spent some time under center, but frankly, given the situation, he needed to be in the gun just to survive. And you know, we were not able to run the football neither year. I mean, we were the most ineffective running team in the country, and pretty much because of the failures in our offensive line, and it had nothing to do with anything else. And like I said earlier, I can't imagine really how productive that kid could have been if he had a run game and he had if he could in any way force the other team to defend two aspects of the game instead of just one. And so I think that's an easier adjustment than going the other way.
If you had the number two pick, would you take Shador or would you take Travis Hunter?
It depends on what I needed. You know, I mean, there isn't anything like Travis Hunter. And, you know, the quarterback is the most important player on the field these days. And I think you've got to go with quarterbacks if you can find one. And so Travis Hunter is just a unique guy that is going to play wherever he goes. He's going to play and play a lot and play well. But you got to have a quarterback to win. And to me, you got to go with a quarterback as your first choice.
Gary, is he a better corner or is he a better wide receiver?
You know, that's a heck of a question because I think corners are harder to find, and there's guys who make some of the same plays that he makes on offense. But he is one spectacular athlete when it comes to that ball being in the air. It's amazing. It's his. I don't care whether he's playing offense or defense, he plays it that way. He was when I saw him the first time as a freshman, or actually was a redshirt freshman or sophomore. I said, that is the best football player I've ever seen, a skilled athlete. And I'll say that to this day. And I'm old and long in the tooth, so I've seen a lot. But he's a heck of a player. I just think that I think there'll be chances in the NFL that people will go, look, he's playing corner for us, but he's our third or fourth best receiver. Let's play him in four receiver sets or five receiver sets or whatever it is. I think there'll be chances and opportunities for him to do both sides of the ball there.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting, because I feel like we've had a little bit of those discussions, like which would he do, which one would he be best at, but you think he can do both?
I think limited. I don't think he can play it like he did in college, but not because of he can't do it. It's just because I think the day-by-day work level and the preparation is more at your level than it is in college. You know, he could go out, as Dion could say, he'd go out and cover man-to-man coverage without ever going to a practice. But at that level, things are much more complicated, and I don't think he can just take on one and stay there or try to bounce back and forth between two. I think he's going to have to primarily be on one, but help out in other areas when you need a four or five receiver set or when you need a dime package if he's playing all offense. So he can help out. Now, can he play every down? No, not like he can in college.
Gary, I want to circle back to Shador because I kind of forgot about this. You know, he's got a personality, and there was the post-game exchange with the Colorado State quarterback. He's got a single out there, and that has led to some people worrying about his personality, or are there diva antics? Some of that might be that his dad had those questions too. Have you seen anything like that to indicate that the personality transition of the NFL might be a little bit more rocky?
I don't doubt that it would be a little more rocky. I mean, he does the whole thing with the watch. He does all these things, and a lot of that is, you know, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree there. And so there's no question he's had the run of the show, and he's played the part. It, you know, the next level, he may not be able to do that. I don't think there's a problem with him adjusting to that, but he certainly has been able to be the guy and take part in all the stuff that the shenanigans you do when you're a bit of a diva.
So how do you weigh that versus the obvious physical talent? If you're the Browns or any other team?
I don't think, if you're asking me if Shador Sanders is a problem going into your organization, I say no. I think he's really well-rounded. I think that he's experienced a lot more than most kids have going in. And so I don't think there's a NFL situation that he couldn't go into, where I think there are situations that other players could not go into.
One thing away from Colorado, and you've been so gracious with your time, but I need your thought on Ohio State and Texas tomorrow. And a big picture, you know, we're in Ohio here, so I got to see if you think the Buckeyes can pull it off and what it means for Ryan Day.
Yeah, you know, I'm going with Ohio State all the way. I think they win the whole thing. I think the lessons that they learned from the Michigan game and from the whole season, losing a couple games, I think that team has prospered from it. They probably needed it. But I think right now they're the most explosive team and the team most likely to win a championship. I think you look at those guys and go, they're playing at a level higher than anybody else right now.
Gary, your expertise is somebody who's been embedded in that program for a very long time, as a, you know, tremendously successful college head coach in your own right, as you know, for across the board. All of this was much needed and very much appreciated. We appreciate you, and I hope you get to enjoy the playoffs as well as you kind of watch the rest of the college football season play out.
Getting ready to do it pretty quick here, so appreciate it, guys. Great being with you.
Thank you so much. Gary Barnett there, former Colorado head coach, current color analyst for the Buffaloes on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We don't have a lot of time to react to what he had to say. Some of that's going to be coming up on tomorrow's show. We do have In Case We Missed It next on 92.3 The Fan.